Hi, everybody. Welcome back to This Is Life Unfiltered. And today I have a very special guest who has not been in LA for too long. She's here for literally like less than a week. And she is quite an incredible entrepreneur. And after talking with her a little bit before we started recording, I found out that her mom lives in Columbia, Connecticut, which is where I'm from. So anybody listening who I went to high school with that knows me, I'm from a town called Mansfield. Her mom lives in Colombia. This is just like crazy small world. But today I have the founder of FounderMade, Megan Asha. And Megan, I'm so glad to have you here today. FounderMade started as a dinner series, right?
It literally started, and this is why I always tell young entrepreneurs, I tell them to start small. I'll give you a little bit of my background. I started this as a dinner series. I was working two jobs, one in finance and one, advising startups. And I was really depressed. I knew I was supposed to be an entrepreneur again. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I had a company beforehand, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I'm like, I'm not ready to be an investor. I'm too young to be an investor. I want to do something that's I do know that I'm supposed to do a bigger business. And I said, okay, well, you're depressed right now. Let's ask. And I wish somebody had told me this question, but I said, I'm going to say, when you're 90, what will make you happy? That was the question. And that's when FounderMade came alive. And I said, okay, I'm just going to do a dinner series called FounderMade. And I'm going to do 12 dinners this year just to get out of my depression. And I will bring entrepreneurs to the table who ones that have crushed it in business. So, the founder of Kind Bar or, the founder of Squarespace. And I'll bring other entrepreneurs, younger entrepreneurs, and bring them to the table, retailers, investors, and, just have them do this like founder therapy thing.
I've got to ask you, I'm so curious because a lot of people struggle, right, from going from like a corporate job or even being in school and not knowing what to do. So did you struggle with that initially when you were like starting? You told me that you studied.
The struggle was so real.
Okay.
The struggle was not real. And anybody who pretends like the struggle isn't real, I don't know because I know that it doesn't really matter. I think you really have to learn, and I never say lose. I say you work towards what you actually are supposed to be doing in your life, and you don't know yet. Like, you follow the breadcrumbs as you do things. And so, when I graduated from high school, and went to college, all I wanted to do is like please my father. I have a type A Indian father who crushed it and came to the US with a backpack and nothing else and then create a big technology company. And I was like, I'm just gonna be more successful. I'm gonna please my dad and I'm gonna go into finance. So first I was, before I even did that, I started off as a musical theater major and then I went into psychology and had a little bit of like depression in undergrad and was so lost because I was used to, I think especially when you go from high school to college, I was like a big fish in my high school. And then I went and was in college. I was, felt like I was lost in the crowd. I was at USC and I was really young for my grade. And so for a long time, I would sit there and be so stressed out about what am I supposed to do with my life? I know I'm supposed to do something more. And that actually continued. It's interesting. I worked in finance in New York, right out of college. And then, started a digital media platform in 2000, oh my God, like 9 or 10. And so that was my foray into being, we were on TV and we did a bunch of, it was like very personality driven media. You can look it up. It was called TMI Weekly. It's before influencers. And we sold that when I went to business school. And I still was just not under, I was looking at back and I'm like, I didn't feel like that was my, like, even being an entrepreneur at that time, that wasn't really supposed to be my path. And so it's so funny that this dinner series actually turned into a business. I was having so much fun at it. I was like, my 9-year-old self is smiling every time I do these dinners. I have no idea what, and I would also stress. I'd be like, I don't know, maybe what is this supposed to be? I don't know why I'm even spending time on this. I was like beating myself up, being like, this is not a business. And I remember one of my best girlfriends, she said to me, follow the breadcrumbs. You love this. Everyone can see that you're passionate about helping entrepreneurs and, helping build these companies. Just follow the breadcrumbs. There's no judgment. Don't judge yourself. Just let yourself be. And I think that is where I ended up, like when I stopped being so hard on myself. Stop beating myself up day in and day out about where I'm supposed to be versus just being happy doing what I love. That's when all this magic started happening. We're able to like manifest the best, most fun company ever.
That's great that you say that. And I mean, I can just tell like your personality, you're so passionate about this. And when I moved out to LA, which I told you off camera, like I have a really hard time out here meeting people who are passionate, because I feel like it's really the 1% with these successful companies who are like, you know, have worked so hard to get to where they are. But take me back a little bit from the beginning. So like, where did you grow up? Where did you go to college? And then what was the first company you started, like, you know, right before FounderMade?
Yep. So, grew up in Northern California, San Jose. And then when we lived in an apartment, and my dad, and this was since I was 2 years old, my dad he came from India with a backpack and nothing else, bought a patent from Hewlett Packard. And he basically, like, I remember when I was two, his daddy's company going public. And this was the 90s. It was like a whole thing. So, it ended up going public, and we ended up living in this big, beautiful house, and my family was totally miserable. It was so funny to see an entrepreneur who, you know, all they were thinking the entire time is, I want to get to the top of the hill. And then once they're at the top of the hill, it wasn't exactly the other lesson in that is enjoy the climb. And enjoy every moment, because every moment, part of the sweetness of getting to the top is getting your butt, just getting 100 no's and getting yourself, you know, having to go through and persevere to the top of the mountain and to what your dream is. That's you earning your dream is so much more sweet than just getting your dream.
I literally posted a video an hour ago that was talking to like starving artists who were like started from the bottom and were like becoming really frustrated with a side hustle. So this is like, you're the perfect person to be interviewing today, because I know that so many young people and even people who are in college are like, they've got that side hustle, and this is, you know, we started before the whole influencer thing, and now everything's like changed so much. But you know, people get so caught up in how to get from A to B, but they forget everything in between. So you grew up in Northern California.
Grew up in Northern California, went to college at USC. I started off as a theater major, then went into psychology as I had an eating disorder. And I was like, I don't even know. I was just, undergrad, I think I was too young to go to undergrad to really appreciate it. I didn't really have that many friends. I was super self-conscious. I mean, you name it. It was such an interesting, I definitely was like a late, late bloomer.
I have to ask, did you know your dad was because your dad's an entrepreneur, did you think you were going to become one or no?
No, okay. I didn't think I was going to become one. But then it was interesting because I remember there was a point I'd become an entrepreneur before, but I remember when I was sitting in finance and I'm sitting around this table and we're having these 3-hour meetings in venture capital, and we're almost like judging all these startups. And I just remember being like, I'm sitting on the wrong side of the table. I'm not supposed to be the one judging these startups. I'm supposed to be the one operating a startup. And so that, and I just was like, my dad didn't come here. Like I'm from a family of builders. Like we have a neon light in the FounderMade office that says build. And so everyone's just like, what? It's like this big sign that says build. And like part of the tagline for FounderMade is build the future. Like I genuinely, like on my tombstone, like if I have, I want to have it say like she helped others build. That's like the whole thing. Cause I think that's where I get the most joy, is like finding those amazing star entrepreneurs, star consumer brands, and then helping them realistically build through what we're doing, driving commerce at our summits.
Yeah. Do you think that going to USC helped you navigate and find like where you would eventually be? Or do you think that college wasn't necessary for you? Cause I didn't go to college, and I look at you and I'm like, I don't know why you would have gone to college. Cause it doesn't seem like you really needed that. You seem very like type A, you know what you wanted to do. But I mean, did it help you?
I think undergrad, I think I should have taken time off and figured out actually
so what like
I
a gap
really
year.
Wanted to do. Yeah, definitely. I was too immature and I was too, I was too insecure and self-involved to like understand where I fit in the world. And I think that if I had taken a little bit of time and actually, instead of trying to please what my family wanted me to do, actually taken time to get centered and actually figure out what my dream life was or what I wanted it to be, I think it would have been a different thing. I would have enjoyed college a lot more. And it's interesting because I went to business school, a couple years after I had done a startup. I went to business school at Columbia. And I remember
you are so smart.
No,
oh my gosh.
No. But by the way, I used to say that to everybody that was at like HBS and Columbia. And I remember being like, oh my gosh, there's no way that I can build a big business because I didn't get to go to business school and I need to know what they learn at business school. Well, what I learned at business school was confidence. That's it. I mean, I learned a lot at business school, I learned a lot of theoretical, but at the end of the day, I learned who I was within our groups. And that was the best thing that for me, because number one, it taught me perseverance, because I was a little bit of a brat when I first did my first business. I was like, oh, it's hard. I don't want to persevere. I had like, it was a different mindset. And then for business school, you had to be really disciplined. And I also had to be disciplined in things I wasn't good at. I'm very good at practical things. I'm not good at theoretical. And so learning things theoretically and having to take tests was like, ugh. But I needed to go through that pain so that I could actually be like, okay, I can do that. But I know what I should be doing, which is like focusing on my strengths of like executing in real world businesses. Mm-hmm. And then I also thought everybody was so much smarter than me in business school. And so I remember like we'd have these team projects and we'd sit around and I all of a sudden figured out what I was the best at. I was the driver. I wasn't the smartest, but I went in and I said, oh, you, you're good at this. You're good at this. You're good at this. I'd like liaise with the professor and I'd get all the projects done. And I'd be like the leader of the, like, you know, like lead cheerleader.
So how important is it to accept that you're not going to be good at everything?
It's so important. I my team knows that I'm like, hi, I'm a special person.
And you now have a team of 15 people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Which is huge.
We're so lucky.
That is like, I mean, you started in 2015 and now you've got a team of 15, right?
It's awesome. We have great offices in Soho with big neon build sign. Like every day it feels, I mean, like awesome, like office Soho loft. I mean, we get to build and amazing team. Like honestly, like I think it actually doesn't matter what business you're in. I mean, yes, product matters and all of that, but if you have a great team, you'll figure it out. You may start off selling like something completely, like something, you know, bracelets, and then you go into technology because you have a good team that just figured out mm-hmm. where the product market fit is. And the thing that I love is like I get to work with people that I genuinely respect that frankly are like crushing it and A+, and we get to basically all get fully realized by building this thing together.
I'm just like looking at you in shock because you are so successful and like so humble, which is so respectable as you've like proven yourself.
But all the people, I'm not that successful. I mean, I'm successful, but to be clear, I feel like the people that have gone through all of the, like have actually built real things, they're humble. Because they probably had to get knocked down 50 times. Like that wasn't I had a bunch of different businesses before this became my business.
For sure.
It became a multi-million-dollar business. But it took me getting, not believing in myself, having bad partnerships, having
rejection,
having to go to business school to prove that I was smart. And then after business school being like, wait, I did this. I did everything I was supposed to do, but I still don't know what I want to do with my life. Like crazy, crazy. And the funny thing is, and I want like for all your younger listeners out there, I want them to think about, and I wish that I had always had, I wish I'd had this before, is think about things as like the long time horizon. Most people, and I know that we have all this media telling you that you should have a multi-billion dollar company by the time you're 20, but most people like become successful, it's usually like past 50. Mm-hmm. And like, and you think about, I mean, there's like these amazing female entrepreneurs, Barbara Corcoran, Mary Kay, Ash, like there are these amazing Estee Lauder, like you name it, there's these amazing female entrepreneurs that all started much later. And frankly, I mean, if you don't look at your business with like a 10-year time horizon and you really like think about it, okay, do I want, I mean, again, like everyone has their own way of doing it, but I want to build things that last and I want to build things that stick. And so I don't look at when we're going to sell. I look at this as how are we driving value year over year? How is this thing changing and morphing to be even bigger, to drive more value? And then to also frankly, like help my team even learn and grow. So it's like such a fun experience.
It's a breath of fresh air to hear you say the age thing, because I find myself getting caught up in that. I'm 20, but I started this when I was 12. But people, that I see in like other entrepreneurs and whatnot who are like at the beginning phases of their company and they're like 1 year in. And I think, I don't know if you agree, but I think it has a lot to do with social media. Cause I think, and you probably think back to when you started and you were in it because you loved it, right? Like I loved writing. I was making no money. There was no money. Then I was like the whole starving artist thing. And then now it's like everybody looks at, again, that point B. Nobody wants to live through the journey and like having to put so much hard work in and not knowing what to do. But what's your number one piece of advice for young people who are in college and are like, I don't want to study this, or my parents are forcing me to do something I don't want to do, or they just got out of college, got their first job and are like, fuck, I hate this.
So I would say, it's really, really important for you not to judge yourself. That's like the one thing, because I was so judgmental of myself when I was in college and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I think asking that question of when you're 90, what will make you happy? That one single question will change your life, because at the end of the day, you're in your 20s. You're just getting started. What do you want to learn? What do you want to do? Like what you get to like, your life is going to be, you're going to go through so many stages of your life. You're gonna probably have 10 different careers if you're lucky. Like, and there should be no judgment. It should just be, well, what do I want to do? What do I want to learn that I'm good at? After business school, I was like, I think I'm good at sales, but I don't know if I'm good at sales. So I'm going to take, I was working at a venture capital firm, and then I was like, I'm going to take a crazy sales job where I have to call and like do like cold calls all day because I want to see if I'm actually good. And I was like, oh, I'm actually good. I closed a bunch of these things and I learned sales. And that was just something I wanted to learn. I remember telling myself when I didn't like the job because it wasn't fitting with what I want to do long term. I was like, this just learning sales is something I can apply to anything. So I think when you're thinking through and you're sitting through a job that you don't like, or you don't know what, you know, you're doing something that you know is not completely aligned with what your life purpose is, I think it's important to take whatever you're doing, do it as well as you can, and figure out what you like about it, figure out things that you could learn that you could apply. Because I have to tell you, like, now at this point, I see now how all of those different moments and those different failures and successes all came to this moment. But I would have never, and it would never have been as sweet if I had not gotten my butt kicked 100 times, if I had not, like, you know, didn't believe in myself for a while. I mean, it's such a cool thing. It's so much sweeter to like work your butt off.
That's what I said in this video today. And all the people who you were comparing like to, you know, Mary Kay and all these different people, the same. And they weren't famous and viral overnight because, I mean, look, you've built a brand truly off of like hard work and passion for it over a period of time, not overnight. Which is funny because I have this new show on Radio Disney that you guys know called Fearless Every Day. You are the definition of fearless. I gotta say it, guys. Megan is the poster child for this show.
I was very fearful before, but now
you're fearless.
Now my whole team, like, they love it. I say sorry, not sorry. I say we say sorry as like young people or women or whoever. Everyone says sorry too much. I don't want you to say sorry. Like, say got it, because sorry, not sorry. Like, there's no reason to apologize for who you are. Mm-mm. Every person has their song that they have to sing and be. And I always say, like, every entrepreneur has a song to sing, and that's our job at FounderMade to like help them get fully realized. But it's important.
Okay, so take me back a little bit to the beginning, because I think people who are probably listening are like, how did this become a dinner party to now this like massive company? So where was this shift, right?
It's so crazy. So we started off doing dinners. The first dinner was in my apartment complex near the gym. There was like a gym area in the apartment complex. It was so bootstrapped.
What city is this?
This is New York City.
This is New York City. Okay. And you're what age?
I'm in my early 30s.
And when you started the dinner parties. Okay.
Yeah. So did that. Well, I was doing dinners throughout my whole.
Okay.
Whole, like, even when I was, I loved female entrepreneur dinners. Yeah. I just, to me, it was always that connection.
Yeah.
So even when I had my other businesses, I was just always doing it because it was like a thing
that I loved.
And I loved being able to like help people network and be, and connect. And so did that. And I remember the first dinner, it was like so bootstrapped. It was like, it probably had plastic cups, who knows? We had a couple people speak. And then from there, we did a couple more dinners. And then Daniel from Kind Bar, who has the Kind Bar, mm-hmm. I wanted him to speak. I was like, that's the founder. I want to speak. He was launching a book. And
this is what year?
This is 2015.
Okay.
He's launching a book, and he said, his PR people said, we need him to speak in front of 300 people. I'm like, oh yeah, can get 300 people.
So you pitched Kind.
Yep.
And so what did you cold email them?
I knew a friend of a friend. And then basically she said, the only reason Megan, like, he has a very limited time.
Yeah.
You're like, this is a little dinner. Like, what are you doing? You're done three dinners, you know? And so I was like, well, we're going to make a conference. And so I had worked with TechCrunch when they first launched and started. And I basically took the playbook from TechCrunch, which is like they have shark tanks for tech companies. Mm-hmm. And I said, why don't we do a shark tank for wellness? We'll partner with Well and Good, and we'll do this crazy shark tank where we have only founders in wellness that have built really, really big companies judge these new wellness founders.
And Well and Good is like an online kind of health and wellness
media
website.
Platform.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It's like, it's very, yeah, health and wellness.
Yeah.
You can discover all these really cool brands from them. And so they launched our Shark Tank pitch challenge. It was like this amazing, we were expecting like maybe like 60, 70 people, and 400 showed up. And I had these gift bags. I remember I was such a labor of love. I made these gift bags where I put mantras of like, believe in yourself. And I'd iron them on. Like I had the first, like, and I remember because I really wanted a cool gift bag for this like conference that we were doing. And it was only from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Gansevoort Hotel and Meatpacking. And it was like the first time, and we'd sold tickets. We sold out of our tickets. I'm like, oh, we're onto something. This is so interesting. But I still, even at the time, I was still working the two jobs. And I was like, this isn't a real business. There's no way I can have fun and make money. That's crazy. All the jobs I've done before, even though I was an entrepreneur, I wasn't making like real money from it. And it's so interesting that it took me a while because I was also gun shy to quit my jobs. So I didn't want to quit early and not know where the revenue was.
Well, yeah, because if you were to quit, there was no stability, right?
Yeah, and I didn't want to do the same thing I had done. I had been, when I was younger, I'd been so much like, yes, let's raise money. Yes, let's do this. And this was the first time I was like, okay, customer and product. What's the customer product? What's the bigger vision? Like, where's the, how are we going to actually build this, and what's the long-term thing? So now the long-term, you know, it's like an amazing big vision now, way before, so much more than dinners. If you know Consumer Electronics Show, mm-hmm.
Yes.
I am, and this is so funny. This is a funny story. I quit my job in finance. This is like, oh my God, so many years ago. And I quit my job because I was dying to go to the Consumer Electronics Show. And I've never done this in my life, but I just basically didn't show up one day and decided I was going to go with my girlfriend, who I ended up starting the digital media platform with, and went to Consumer Electronics Show because I love technology. I loved being able to discover all these cool innovations. And I have a picture from 10 years ago where I'm holding this like ball, CES ball, which is, and I realize, like, it's funny, 10 years later, I'm like, oh, we're building Consumer Discovery Show. And that's basically CES, but for food, wellness, beauty.
Yeah.
We're launching all the coolest brands, and we're doing the exact same thing. They started the 1960s, and they have now taken over Vegas, and it's like the biggest, you know, trade show in the world. We're going to be doing, you know, this is our first year doing the Consumer Discovery Show, and we're already getting a ton of traction.
No, it's huge. How many people even attend all of them?
We had a couple thousand in New York.
Wow.
And then we had like over 200 brands and CEOs and everyone from like Sarah Michelle Gellar or the founder of Drybar. I mean, you name it.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
So you,
Huda Beauty.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's amazing. So you have this one dinner party, right? Or kind of event, and the founder of Kind Bar shows up and he speaks on your Shark Tank Scott style setup. And then what happens? What happens after that? Because this is 2015.
Yes. 2015. Then I'm still working my jobs and I'm like, oh, I'm kind of doing it as a side thing. Let's do a Future of Beauty event. So I host a Future of Beauty event. We have all these beauty, we sold a little bit of sponsorship and we have all these new beauty companies. We do the same type of Shark Tank pitch challenge, launch with a media platform, and we do that. So we do these segmented events, but it's definitely still, I'm thinking, oh, it's investors. I don't think about the retailers, and it's not completely tight in terms of what Founder Made is. You know, I know that all I want to do is basically help these entrepreneurs build, but I don't know how to help them build. And then, you know, what we would do after every event is we would have calls with all of our exhibitors, and we would find out, hey, what was most valuable? Would you work with us again? What did you not like? What did you like? And, you know, from there we realized, okay, they don't, you know, they love investors, but really most people want commerce. They just want to drive commerce and they want like media and they want influencers. And so we, you know, we realized like there's no good place to actually tell the founder story and talk about the product launch. Mm-hmm. And so we're that platform. And we're launching like these really cool. I mean, you look at
no, it. No, I was on your Instagram the other day.
And we
too.
Have these amazing, like amazing. Fizzy Lizzie is like a young millennial founder. I mean, we have like the iconic protein, One Culture Foods,
even Lo Bosworth,
and oh yeah, Lo Bosworth.
Ali Webb, who's the founder of Dry Bar. So I don't understand. How did you? I mean, I understand it, but how do you get these big names, right? Because I think a lot of people nowadays too, they want to start a podcast or a YouTube channel and they're like, they want to go to the big guys. And that takes, now I've gotten to interview so many big names after 6 years, but how do you do it? Because those are the people who can really help jumpstart your career is when you get in with that circle of like very successful entrepreneurs and then you kind of, you know, can model your progress after them.
I mean, I think it's all hustle. I think at the end of the day, and also the best entrepreneurs that have built real businesses, when they see that your mission is super aligned with helping others, they want to be a part of it. And so I think people genuinely, like when they come to our conferences, they feel a certain energy and they understand that we are genuinely trying to help discover the best consumer brands and help them build. And we want to be that ecosystem that really supports and helps them grow. And so it's very interesting because, you know, now we get referrals for bigger speakers, but before it was like, the hustle was so real. I would be like mail merging all of the big contacts, trying to find my friend who's at this. And so many people would say, no, no, no. And I would just keep saying, okay, next year, you're going to be so great next year. I always say, we have a funny thing when we first started the business. We got this book called Reject Me, I Love You. Or no, I Love It. Reject Me, I Love It. And we would hold it up when people would say no. Like people, you know, we'd be selling exhibitor booths and people would see it. And we like, reject me. Because at the end of the day, you're going to get 100 no's. And
that
then
hundreds of thousands of
hundreds
knows.
Of thousands
yeah.
of knows. And it's the perseverance game.
Yeah.
If you just sit there and you keep smiling, you're going to totally get there. And you just keep saying, like I tell my team, I say, it's so important. Your words are so important. So even when we're saying, oh, you know, the conference is, or we're getting ready for this conference, it's stressful. That's the energy you're going to put out. Mm-hmm. So I always change it. I'm like, this is going to be the most exciting conference, guys. This is going to be like, we have so much amazing, look at all these amazing things happening. We have all these amazing people. Look at like, we're building the future of this thing. It's such a privilege. And just using like those little things of changing from the negative to the positive, all of a sudden it changes
mindset.
Everybody's mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, like what, we're so lucky to be alive. We're so lucky that we get to know all these fancy founders and we get to discover all these cool consumer brands. Like this, we're healthy, we're young. Like this is a dream come
true.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, and you get to be surrounded by so many different entrepreneurs. So you've got to be like learning so much all the time. And I think as an entrepreneur, the key part is like there's always more to learn. Even if you're like the top of the game, there's always something new to learn, right?
There's always more to learn.
Okay. I've got a question for you. So people constantly ask me something. It's like the same question because like, which it seems like you're very similar to me, like super type A. You're just so driven. Like you have no schedule, but you have a schedule just that you've like made on your own.
Yep.
And a lot of people go into like being an entrepreneur, making their side hustle, their full-time gig, and they don't have that determination. So the amount of emails I get from young people and they're like, I don't understand how to hustle. Like, how do you do it? And I think people just might see it through my platforms. Just, I mean, I work all the time. This is just my life. But in my opinion, it's either something that I would say this, and I want your opinion on this. It's either you have it or you don't. Like you have this innate inner obsession, drive that just, it's just a part of you. Or if you don't have it, you haven't found your purpose yet. That's what I say to people who ask me that. And people ask like, why are you like this? And I don't have an answer. I just say, it's just a part of me. And if you don't have it, I don't know. And I ask it all the time, but tell me what would your answer to that question be?
I would say if you're not turned on and passionate about what you're doing, then you're in the wrong field. That's it. You have one life to live. And it's interesting because I do think everybody has the drive. Everybody wants to have a life fully realized. This is if you literally, if you can't, like, I eat, sleep, and breathe this. I love it. Sometimes it's hard. It's like a marriage, like, or whatever. It's like dating somebody a long time. Like, sometimes you're like, oh, this is really hard. We have a bet, you know, but at the end of the day, like, I wouldn't want it any other way. I have no regrets. And I'm living a life fully realized. So, I think it's, and again, like, that drive comes, I think, from when you find your true passion. And it has to be a passion bigger than yourself. Mm-hmm. It can't just be about you making money. It can't be about you, I don't know, looking good on Instagram or whatever that vanity thing is. It needs to be something that's like, how am I giving to the world?
Yeah.
Like, to me, I'm like, I am so lucky I get to live in this day and age and I get to help scale consumer businesses. And hopefully, you know, we're starting with these summits. Hopefully that's worldwide. It will be worldwide very soon. So, yeah.
And now you have such a clear vision, but it's taken you some time.
Oh my God. I didn't even know. Trial and error. And I would also, here's one thing I would always do, which is crazy, is I wanted everyone to tell me what business I should do. So I would ask everyone. I remember I'd go to these business seminars and I'd come up to the leader of the thing and I'd be like, so, and I'd tell them my whole story that I had this startup that I didn't and da-da-da, and I had this bad partnership, and I'd give them like my whole story because this guy was successful. He should know what I should do with my life. And I would be like asking all these opinions about from other people, and I realized I was like trying to find the business whisperer. Instead of the horse whisperer, I was trying to find somebody who was like, tell me what business I should do, get me on the track. And again, like, I really think it's like, I think you start with, when you're 90, what will make you happy? You start small and you do something and it may be turned into a business. It may not, but don't have any attachments to it. Just do what you love. Cause then all of a sudden that energy of like being passionate, excited about something, it goes into everything. Mm-hmm. It goes into all parts of your life.
Yeah. And stop comparing yourself too.
We're all on our own path.
Yeah.
I have friends who've like created billions of dollars of company. I mean, crazy, amazing big companies. At the end of the day, like, some of them are happy, some of them aren't. It doesn't mean that the best part is, like, this is life. You're on your own path.
Yeah. So I love cool. that. Oh my gosh, you are such an inspiration. Okay.
You are. I mean, look at you.
You are so cute. Okay. I've got two questions left for you. So my first question is, out of all the entrepreneurs that you've met, is there one quote, one anything that's stuck with you or that you've learned being surrounded by these massive names?
It's so interesting. So one thing, if you know ClassPass, familiar.
I just saw that she's one of the speakers.
She's amazing. She's one of she's a dear friend and a very big inspiration to me in just life as a human. Cause, what I loved about her and what I love about her is Pyle always she loved dancing and she always made sure that she would dance and do that and not let go of that. And that was part of the way that she became fully realized was doing the dance, doing her Indian dance, and then she would continue to do ClassPass, and she wanted people to just get to class. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, finding that life passion, and watching people find that and having that balance of like doing what you love to do as a kid, doing it in your adult life, and then building a business off of it. It's freaking amazing.
I love ClassPass. I took Barry's on ClassPass today.
But I did too.
Did you? Yes. Did you go to Barry's today?
5:15 class off of my red eye flight to LA
today. What location did you go to?
Venice.
Okay. I was going to say, because I was at the 7:15, but tomorrow I'm trying to take the 5 a.m. in Hollywood. But
I love it.
It gives me anxiety waking up that early. But if you're an entrepreneur, right? That's what I always say.
You have the drive.
The earlier I wake up. But also, how important is like getting out of your comfort zone? Because it's so scary, especially going from... like you worked corporate and then going to have no stability, which is something I never worked corporate or anything. But I can relate to people who do. And that fear, I can only imagine because I have the fear every day. It's like, even when you're quote unquote successful, you don't always know where your next paycheck's going to come from.
Totally.
How do you learn to adjust to that?
I think the psychology of being an entrepreneur is such a trip. It's such a trip. And it's funny because I thought, oh my gosh, if we got to this X million in revenue, I would be just sitting pretty. There'd be no worries. And it's so funny. Now I realize, and I laugh because now Pyle, who has a huge company, it's like the universe or whatever you believe in will give you all like the problems and problems to solve at, you know, a $5 million revenue company. And then if you can't get past that, then you can't scale to 10, like 10 or 20 or, you know, 100. And so I think, it's such a mindset of it's never enough. So you have mm-hmm. to really stop with that And I have to like tell myself not to, I have to do other things besides work in order for me to get space in, and I have to do other things that make me scared mm-hmm. besides work.
Yeah.
Because I will like, I love being an entrepreneur and that's like the thing that I like facing the fear of being an entrepreneur and building a business. But then I also realize that I get so much, joy from doing things that also push me physically.
Yeah.
So I've been doing like these marathons and doing a marathon
around
the, on all the continents. So I did Patagonia,
gosh.
I did Australia, I did Paris, which was so fun.
Wow.
French bread.
Oh my gosh.
But those little things where I'm not thinking, I mean, I'm thinking about work, but those little things that are, you're doing something out in the world and with your body and you get to connect to whatever your higher source is so cool.
The fitness part for me has always been really big. I think that that's how, as an entrepreneur, to stay really sane is like, if you can find that one thing, it doesn't have to be fitness, but it might be writing or whatever. Maybe it seems like fitness is for you.
Yeah.
For me too, because I think as an entrepreneur as well, you're always trying to push the envelope, and that's something that you can do with fitness is like with your body is like how much can you kind of push it, right?
Yep.
In a good way. But tell me, so FounderMade's on October 4th.
Yeah, so it's the FounderMade Consumer Discovery Show. It's on October 4th. We're going to be launching and highlighting all the cool innovations from food brands, beauty brands, wellness brands. It's going to be very experiential. There's an amazing gift bag. It's like, I think, over $750 worth of product. So very fancy. And it's in Santa Monica at this really cool Barker hangar.
And then what's the next one after that?
The next one is in New York.
Okay.
And that is June 12th.
Okay.
And again, same, but you know, New York based entrepreneurs and we have a lot of people that fly out as well. And it's really about launching those innovations in the space.
So all the people that I'm seeing on your Instagram are all those founders speaking at the one on October 4th.
Yes.
Okay, so like ClassPass,
the recent
Ali Web,
yep,
all of them. Oh my gosh! Okay,
and is founder
it,
party.
Are you sold out, or can people still buy tickets?
There are definitely get your tickets. We will sell out for sure. But I mean, again, this is our first LA event. We're so excited to really.
How many people usually come per event?
So the last one in New York was a couple thousand, and this one will be, you know, I think we'll have like 1,500 and you know, about 500, you know.
Did you ever expect, could you ever have imagined 10 years ago to be where you are?
No, and I wouldn't have, it's very interesting. I'm literally doing what my superpower and what I was supposed to do in the world, but I don't even recognize the person 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think that also what I'd like about, they always say, it's not about the success when you get up and you're successful. It's actually the person you become to be successful, because in order for me to be a good leader, I have to be a much better at everything, much more like you're constantly questioning how you're doing and who you are and how you can be better and how you can help your team and how you can help your customers. And so I think, I mean, I'm not even close to where my 9-year-old self is. My 9-year-old self is like the coolest, hottest, you know, 9-year-old grandma or lady ever. But I think like that you get that wisdom long-term when you just keep building.
And you're on your way to right now to finding out what it means to be where you'll, oh my God, I can't even imagine where you're going to be when you're 90.
It's going to be so fun. I'm going to not stop. Can't stop, won't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah,
and
look at both of us.
The whole, sorry, not sorry. I think as an entrepreneur, that's something that should really be applied, because everyone's always apologizing for stuff that they shouldn't even be apologizing about. And life is too short, right, to get so caught up in those like small moments. But Megan, where can I and everyone listening, where can I find you? I know where to find you. Where can everyone listening find you on social media?
You can find me FounderMade at FounderMade is the social media, and then Megan Asha, MEGHANASHA. You guys can find me. Ask me any question. I'm here to support as you guys build. It's super exciting to see
you. You are such an incredible woman, and it means so much to me that you were able to stop by and give such wise advice, because you truly are somebody who young people should be looking up to. Not, I like to say these, I say don't look up to these overnight sensations on social media, right? Because as you want to be a brand. You don't want to be a one hot second thing. And you've proven that you can build it, but it takes time, and that's what matters. So guys, make sure to follow This Is Life Unfiltered on social media at This Is Life Podcast. And you can also check out my social media if you don't know already, which is at Alexa_Curtis. And if you are looking to be an upcoming guest on This Is Life Unfiltered, you can submit at TILUpodcast.com. And you can also email either of my like 15 emails that are out there for either Fearless Every Day on Radio Disney or This Is Life Unfiltered. I hope you guys have an awesome rest of your week. Make sure to check out Megan. Grab a ticket to Founder Made if there are any available by the time this airs. And talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Bye.